Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm an emergency critical care veterinary specialist and a toxicologist. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about a cool, amazing new update about how to make your dog live longer and what dog owner doesn't want their pet to live longer. So you want to tune in right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm super excited to speak with Dr. Brennan McKenzie, who's a fellow veterinary colleague. Brennan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Just so our audience knows a little bit about you, do you mind just explaining who you are, where you trained, and what you do now?
Absolutely. So I am one foot in two worlds. I am in clinical practice as a general practitioner. I trained at the University of Pennsylvania more years ago than I care to say, and I've been in practice, in private practice, for that entire time. But about 5 years ago, I started working as director of veterinary medicine for Loyal. Loyal is a biotechnology startup company based in San Francisco, and our goal is to develop FDA-approved medications to extend healthy lifespan in dogs. So I'm getting to work both in the clinical and in the research world.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you joining us today, and I love the stuff that Loyal is starting to do. So thank you for all that you do, first of all. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the health span and the lifespan in dogs. First of all, what exactly is the definition of health span, and how is it related to lifespan in dogs?
So lifespan is a word and a concept that everyone's very familiar with. It's simply the amount of time that an individual's been alive. Health span is a pretty simple but less commonly known term that refers to the length of time that an individual has been healthy and functional with a good quality of life. So lifespan and health span are both aspects of the length of time, but health span refers specifically to health. And the relationship in dogs is particularly interesting because, of course, we know that the vast majority of our companion dogs don't pass away from a specific disease. We euthanize them when their quality of life has reached a point that we feel is unacceptable. And the ability to extend health span by delaying the onset of age-associated diseases is also the ability to extend lifespan, because if dogs are healthier and have a good quality of life, then they will naturally live longer.
Sounds like it's important for human medicine too, but that's a whole nother topic. Now, what are some approaches for extending lifespan and health span in dogs? And what role could drugs play in accomplishing this?
So there are a number of things that we can already do to extend the healthy lifespan of our dogs. And these are things that, as a clinician, I talk to dog owners about all the time. Things like preventative veterinary care. There's evidence that dogs who see their veterinarian regularly, who keep up with vaccinations and parasite prevention and with screening for diseases, live longer. So simply continuing with good quality preventative care is an important thing that dog owners can do to extend the healthy lifespan in their dogs. We also know that one of the most challenging problems right now in canine medicine is obesity. We know that dogs who are overweight have a shorter life expectancy than dogs who are a healthy weight. So maintaining your dog at a healthy body weight is an important way of extending lifespan and health span. However, what we're interested in is giving veterinarians and dog owners more tools to do that, more tools to prevent the development of age-associated disease and keep dogs happy and healthy longer. And we think that medications can play a role in that. I'll give you an example. One of the most effective ways to extend healthy lifespan in a variety of species, which has been tested in dogs, is something called calorie restriction. Purina did a great study a while back where they paired up puppies, Labrador Retriever puppies. And one dog was in a group that was fed its entire life to a healthy, normal body condition. The puppy that was matched was fed to 25% fewer calories than that group. So all they did for these dogs was some of them got fed to be a healthy condition and some of them got fed less. The dogs who were calorie restricted lived on average a year and a half longer. They developed all of the same age-related problems that Labradors are prone to, but they were generally getting these problems a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years later on average. So we know that calorie restriction is a way that you can extend healthy lifespan. The problem is that it's not a practical, realistic thing to do for our companion dogs. Food is love. Food is how we show affection. And trying to get people to dramatically restrict how they feed their dogs is likely to interfere with the human-animal bond. And if it's not done carefully with proper supervision, it's likely to cause malnutrition and actually be harmful. However, what we've learned from studies like this is that there are underlying mechanisms of aging that occur that we can manipulate. So if calorie restriction can change aging and let dogs live longer and healthier lives, perhaps we can target some of those same mechanisms with medications and give another tool to owners that is more practical and more realistic to use to achieve the same outcome.
I love all that you're bringing up. And thank you so much for bringing up that Purina study. It's one of my favorite long-term studies. And I'm hoping one day they replicate this in cats, but it's probably very similar, right? We know there's a huge link between obesity and the development of osteoarthritis. We know that obesity definitely contributes to underlying cardiopulmonary problems, heart and lung problems, to creating arthritis, to really affecting the mobility of dogs and cats as they age. I can't tell you how heartbreaking it is for me as an emergency veterinary specialist where I have to euthanize dogs that come in on a gurney. And it's because they're usually older, obese Labradors who can't get up because they have such severe osteoarthritis that was worsened by obesity. And oftentimes when I'm talking to pet owners, I'll say, hey, have you tried veterinary non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications? They're like, oh, no, my dog's on glucosamine, but they haven't actually tried anti-inflammatories. And so it's so important that you work with your veterinarian to make sure that your dog and cat are in a good BCS or body condition score. I always joke for Labrador owners, if someone comes up to you and says, oh, your lab is so skinny, that means they're actually perfect. Okay, so you should be able to see or feel the ribs really lightly, especially when your dog is running. And again, you shouldn't be able to feel that big fat pad right over their back or their pelvis. So, so important just because of, again, that Purina study. So there are a lot of things that we can do preventative medicine-wise and nutrition-wise when it comes to helping our pets live longer. Brennan, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but on a total side note, I recently read this book that was directed towards human longevity called Outlive, and it was how to age gracefully versus just living to old age, right? We want to make sure that we're mobile, that we're healthy, and a lot of it is so similar to what we already know. It's caloric restriction. It's more exercise. It's a lot of things we can do preventative-wise, even when it comes to sleep hygiene, when it comes to our mental health. So a lot that we can do in terms of our overall lifespan and health span in both human and veterinary medicine. So with that said, what might be the benefits and disadvantages of longevity drugs? You mind just telling us a bit more about that and how drugs could play a role in accomplishing longevity?
Happy to. So one of the problems is that we do know a lot about lifestyle interventions that potentially help extend healthy lifespan. And yet we have difficulty implementing those, right? As you've just said, it's difficult to get people to feed their pets to a healthy body condition because food is part of that loving interaction between pet and owner. And the same is true in humans. We know that obesity is a health risk. And yet it's been very difficult through simply telling people to eat less and exercise more to accomplish the improvement that we want in that health risk. And we are now realizing that we need other tools and that medications are not a substitute for living a healthy lifestyle, but they have some advantages. They are practical. They often can fit into our life and our routines in a way that is easier than some of the challenging lifestyle interventions like drastic dieting, for example. And we sometimes forget that some of these lifestyle interventions are actually kind of broad acting things. If you calorically restrict, you're also protein restricting, you're restricting micronutrients, you're making a lot of changes in the nutrient intake of a particular individual. And that's likely to have a lot of effects other than simply reducing body weight. So even though we think of it as a natural and healthy thing to do, dramatic dieting, for example, has a lot of potential negative health effects. But if we've understood how caloric restriction extends lifespan and slows aging at a mechanistic level, if we were able to look at the physiology of that process and what the benefits and risks are, drugs potentially offer us an opportunity to target those mechanisms in a more precise and intentional way. And that potentially has even, you know, the chances of having fewer adverse effects than something broad and a blunt tool like a dramatic diet change. So I think drugs have some advantages in terms of their practicality and their convenience, and in terms of being specific and precise in targeting particular mechanisms rather than just drastically changing the overall physiology of the individual.
Thank you so much. Such important information. I can't wait to hear more. Dr. Brendan, love the fact that we're even focusing on preventive medicine and the way that we can help our four-legged family members live longer. We'll be right back with Dr. Brendan right after these messages.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Brendan McKenzie, and we've been talking about lifespan and longevity and what we can do to help expand both lifespan and health span in our dogs. I did have a question. Most of us know, if you've ever had like a small dog versus a Great Dane, like a teacup chihuahua versus a Great Dane, that smaller dogs often live longer than larger dogs. And it's often hard in the emergency room because I'll see a 6 or 7 year old Great Dane come in for a life-threatening gastric dilatation volvulus or a stomach bloat. And unfortunately, that's geriatric for a dog versus at that same age for a teacup chihuahua, I would barely call that one middle age. So why do smaller dogs live longer?
It's really quite interesting because dogs are an exception to the usual rule in biology. It's generally well understood that larger animals tend to live longer. We expect elephants to live longer than mice, and that's a pretty consistent relationship. In dogs, the opposite is true. The smaller individuals tend to have shorter life expectancies. And that's not a natural phenomenon. That's a consequence of deliberate artificial breeding. We have selected dogs very intensively and very aggressively, especially over the last couple hundred years, for very specific traits, for appearance, for particular behaviors. And one of the things that we have bred dogs for is body size. We have selected these large and giant breed dogs to be large, and we've bred them very intensively to achieve this. And unfortunately, some of the hormonal and metabolic changes that lead to larger body size have other consequences. And those consequences include accelerated aging. So larger dogs live shorter lives largely because we've made them large through a process that also impacts their aging trajectory. And then on a practical level, larger dogs can be harder to manage clinically when they get older and they have age-associated diseases. It's much easier to manage, you know, a 15-pound chihuahua that has some arthritis and has difficulty walking than it is a 150-pound mastiff. And so sometimes, unfortunately, we're we're in the awful position of choosing euthanasia at an earlier age for these larger dogs because they're simply much more difficult to manage effectively. But most of it has to do with the biology of artificial breeding.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, what are the most promising recent advancements in the field of canine longevity? Do you mind just telling us a little bit about what you do at Loyal?
So there are a lot of exciting things happening. Loyal, obviously, is the company that I work for, and I'm very excited about our projects. There are quite a few other organizations working in the canine aging field as well. So I think we're really at a pivotal moment in this area where we're going to see a lot of new advancements. The Dog Aging Project, the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study through the Morris Animal Foundation. There are lots and lots of efforts going on to do several things. One is simply to understand aging as well as we can in dogs, how it occurs and what the consequences are. We know a lot about aging in laboratory rodents, and we know a fair bit in humans, and there are significant similarities across different mammal species, so we can extrapolate to some extent from that knowledge, but we definitely want to have precise research results in the species we're interested in. So one of the things we're doing at Loyal with some of our preclinical work and with our upcoming clinical trials is collecting as much data on how dogs age metabolically, what clinical disorders that's associated with, and trying to really understand aging so we know where the targets are for therapies and prevention. Another thing that we're trying to do is develop really good, reliable tools for measuring the aging process. When we talk about health span, we have a general idea what we mean, but it would be really great for me as a clinician to have an instrument or a tool that I could use, a biomarker or a survey instrument, to look at a particular dog and say, yeah, you're an 8-year-old golden retriever, but you're in great shape and you're really young physically. Whereas another 8-year-old golden retriever may have more consequences of aging. Individuals age differently at different rates. And we're trying to develop tools to measure things like frailty and health-related quality of life, which are ways of getting at what aging is doing to each individual so we can tailor our prevention and our treatment methods to those individuals where they are. And then obviously, finally, we're interested in developing more therapeutic tools. So we are beginning, we've already actually started to enroll for our first clinical study called the STAY study. This is to achieve approval through the FDA for the first medication to specifically extend healthy lifespan in dogs. This is going to be a 4-year study with about 1,000 dogs. So one of the largest studies, clinical trials in veterinary medicine ever. And we're really excited about the potential that this could show us that one of our products makes a real meaningful impact on health span and lifespan in dogs.
All right. Amazing information. When it comes to canine longevity and potential drugs, I know that a couple months ago, you guys announced a major milestone in bringing dog longevity drugs to market. And again, this is cutting edge. Like, most veterinarians don't even know about this. So the FDA accepted Loyal's reasonable expectation of effectiveness application for a drug that you've been developing for large and giant breed dogs to help them live longer. From my understanding, the name of the drug right now is called LOY-001. And based on your data or your preliminary data, the FDA believes that this drug is reasonably likely to be effective for large dog lifespan extension in the real world. So this is totally historic, right? Because we've never seen anything like this. So do you mind just telling me a little bit more about, first of all, this drug, what study? I know you just brought up that study, when you expect study results and how exactly the drug works, if you can disclose that.
Yeah, so LOY-1, which is just our code name for it, because during the FDA approval process, you know, we have some pretty strict rules about what we can and cannot say. They don't want us to be making any claims for drugs that we haven't proven yet. LOY-1 is a drug that's intended to help mitigate some of the consequences of that intensive breeding of large dogs that I mentioned earlier. Specifically, it helps to lower levels of growth hormone and something called insulin-like growth factor 1 in adult dogs. So after they've reached full growth, we're not trying to make mini Great Danes or anything like that. And we hope that that will mitigate some of the negative health consequences of that hormonal system. And the big news was that we've gone through a process called expanded conditional approval. So the FDA has a very rigorous process for vetting drugs to make sure that they are safe and effective. And that process includes evidence of safety, evidence that you can manufacture the drug effectively in an appropriate manner, and evidence that the drug works, that it does what you want it to do. All of those things are necessary for any kind of approval, but for drugs that are treating an untreated problem, a clinically meaningful, important problem that we don't yet have drugs for, and aging is certainly that kind of a problem, you have the opportunity to make the drug available to veterinarians and dog owners earlier in the process through conditional approval. And that involves the same safety data, the same manufacturing data, all of the other criteria are the same. But in addition to going through a long-term clinical trial to prove that it's effective, you can market the drug early under conditional approval if you meet the standards of reasonable expectation of effectiveness. So we have a good body of preclinical data that we've submitted to the agency to say, here's why we think our drug will work, why we think it will extend healthy lifespan in large dogs. And while we're going to go ahead with the long 4-year clinical study to demonstrate that definitively, we think this might be worthwhile to make available to veterinarians earlier. And the FDA has agreed that that evidence is compelling. And if we go through the rest of the process and meet all of the other milestones, we could potentially bring that drug to market as early as 2026, while we're then conducting a longer-term study to verify all the details and make sure that we're confident in the benefits. And we have several products in development. That's for LOI-001. We also have a product, LOI-003, which works in the same way on the same mechanism, but it's intended to be given as a daily tablet prescribed by a veterinarian, whereas 001 is going to be an injectable product that would be used about every 3 to 6 months. We're still working on the best way to make that available to people. So we have a couple of products in this general category, but the announcement applies to this LOI-001 or the injectable medication to extend healthy lifespan in large dogs.
Amazing information. And I'm so glad that I was able to talk to you about it today because, again, dog owners are finding out before a lot of veterinary professionals even know this. And, you know, I know it oftentimes will take a while to be able to get out and get the drug marketed out there. But just knowing that we have some hope in helping extend the lives and the health span of our large to giant breeds is so amazing. I usually have the 50 to 55 pound pit bull mix. And it's hard when you're trying to counsel people or even like my young child and be like, well, he's only going to live to like 10 to 12, right? And I often feel like people don't always know what to anticipate for the longevity of their pet. So anything we can do to help them and help promote a healthy, happy lifespan where they're in good condition, they're happy, they're have a good quality of life is so, so important. Dr. Brennan, thank you so much. Any last points you want to leave with us?
I just want people to, you know, hopefully share my enthusiasm and my optimism. I think we've traditionally thought of aging as just an inevitable part of life, and we wait for bad things to happen and then do the best we can to treat them. I think that we are at the beginning of a period in which we can take a different approach, where we can prevent a lot of those negative things from happening or delay them and give dogs and their people more happy, healthy time together. And I'm excited about that potential, and I hope that the rest of the profession will be as well.
Wonderful. Dr. Brennan McKenzie, thank you so much. Love what you do for Loyal. And just wanted to thank you for being on today's show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Find me at drjustinelee.com, on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Lee, or email me your pet questions at drjustine@petliferadio.com. With that, we're out of time, and we want to thank our guests, Dr. Brennan McKenzie and Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. See you at the next episode.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.